Well, I can tell you one thing. You know that you're not going to sneak in an Old Baptist church and not get seen. That's why we didn't call ahead of time, let him know we were coming, we were planning on being here. And he still had his back to us and could still turn around and see us come in. So for what time I do stand before you, I ask for your prayers. There has been something. This week we've been down over, and I've been corrected on how you say the name of it a couple times already. Kissimmee. We've been down there. My family is all down together, and we're visiting with them, and we all get together at one time, and it's a good time to meet out. And this week, when we've been down there the last few days, I'd take some time, read the Bible, and my sister asked me, she said, "Well, what are you studying on?" And I was telling her what I was reading. She said, "Well, how do you know that's what, you know, why that? You've never read that before?" And I told her, I said, "No, that's just where my mind is. It's what the Lord's blessed me to be reading on and to study on." And she wasn't getting it. She wasn't understanding it. And it's something that you really can't explain unless you are a part of it. And you've been blessed with it before, where you've read scriptures before numerous times. And finally, the Lord blesses us to have our eyes opened and have an understanding of it and say, this is what it is. And you've had men stand in this pulpit that can quote the Bible from front to back. And they know it. They've been reading it. They've been studying it and preaching on it for decades. And all of a sudden, you'll stand up and hear a man get up there and say, "Well, I want to come to you today and show you something that I've never seen before." And the man can quote the Bible from front to back. That is a blessing. That's a blessing of the Lord to bless them to see something and have an understanding. So Lord willing, for what little time I stand before you, I'd like to look at Daniel 10. And in Daniel 10, there's three verses here. And in those three verses, I want to look at something that acronyms are something that we have. We put on place of something so we can remember things. You know, the federal government, the military, they put it on everything so people can remember what they're talking about. It takes the letters and they put it there and you can remember. And what I want to look at is ARK, ask, receive, and keep. Ask, receive, and keep. And I'll tell you, I'm one that needs those acronyms to remember things. Because you can ask my wife, I don't remember hardly anything. So I'll assure you, you can ask your pastor too, he's known me long enough. I really don't remember a lot of things. But when I can give it little things to remember it by, then it helps me to remember. And this ARK, ask, receive, and keep, is something Daniel's going through here in verse 10. He's having a vision. And then starting verse 17, it says, "For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one that had appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Those are three verses I want to look at right there. And Daniel's sitting there, and starting in verse 17, he sits there and he's saying, How can I speak to you? You're coming to me, and I know we've all been in that situation, or at least I have been, where I know what the Lord has done for me. I know what He's blessed me with, and I feel like I'm coming to Him again saying, "Lord, I need something. Can you bless me with this, another thing?" And we can stop and look back in just the day alone and how many times He's blessed me, and I sit there and think, I can't ask Him for another thing. And when you want to put it in the grand scale of things and you think about, I know what He's paid the price for me for eternal life, that kind of trumps all, and you sit there and say, how can I be, you know, asking again for something else? We come to Him so often, but you know what? When we go to Hebrews 4, it gives us, the Lord doesn't ever put us in a situation where He hasn't given us the answer. We might not always been blessed to see it, but it gives us the answer. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It doesn't say when you've asked so many times in a day, you're that's your allotment for the day. He doesn't say that. It says you come when you need. You come boldly to Him. And it takes boldness to be able to come and knowing what the Lord has done for us, that we get to come to ask Him, knowing that just 2 seconds ago, or whatever act we just did, we were sinning probably, and we weren't going in the accordance of His Word. And now we turn and we say, Lord, we need You. Can You help us? Can You bless us through this moment? Can You help me get through this? Can You deliver me into this? You know what? We have to come boldly unto Him. But you know, the verse right before it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's how we can go to Him. He knows. He's been there. He knows what we go through. He experiences it. It's not something that's just out there that He doesn't know what we're going through, and He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But you know what? He's experienced it. He's come down and He's lived amongst us. He spent 40 days in the wilderness being out there with no food, fasting, and being then coming and being tempted and saying, you know what? I don't need to falter on this. He didn't. He was without sin. So when we come to Him, He knows what we're going through. He can relate to us. You know, we have the most personable Savior there is. The Bible teaches the most personal Savior there is. And a lot of times, people will always talk about, in different religions, about a personal Savior. I'll tell you, there's no more personal Savior than one that said, I choose this one. Before the foundation of the world, He says, this is My beloved, this is My beloved, this is My beloved. That's the most personable Savior there is. That's what the truth teaches. It teaches a personable Savior. That's what we get to do. We don't just send up prayers into the atmosphere, into anything. No, we send them to Christ. And you know what? It doesn't mean that we say it has to be perfect and said perfectly. I can assure you, if that's the case, I do not have very good grammar. I don't speak very well. But I tell you that when the Lord needs it, He knows what I'm trying to say. And He says, you know what? And even when I pray for something that it's not what I need, He knows it. And He delivers it in the way that I do need it. That's a personable Savior. So when He's sitting here, Daniel's saying, I have no strength, I have no breath in me. You know what He's asking? He's asking for something. He's asking for help. He's saying, I don't have any strength in me. I have no breath in me. Then it comes down, verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one that had appearance of man, and He strengthened me. He gave him the strength. He gave him that strength. So now he's asked. Now he's received. You know, a lot of times I think we miss that point right there of receiving. We ask, and then we go. You know, we just get in a hurry and we pray and we think, I know what I need. So we say the prayer, but we go with what our intentions were regardless, without waiting for to receive from the Lord that peace and that comfort to know that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's how we're supposed to be doing it. So he sits there and he has no strength, he has no breath, and he's touched and he receives the strength. You know, when we sit there and we're going through the world, and the world's not easy. I mean, it's not an easy place out there. And we understand that times are getting worse and worse. So it's getting harder and harder when you go out there. I mean, when we were driving up, I think there was probably more people in the strawberry patches picking strawberries today than that were in this building right here today. I think there was. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing because, you know what? Yes, the strawberries, when we were driving by, you could see from the road, you could see they looked nice and red. And they looked like they were ready to be picked. But I tell you what, they don't have that understanding that there's no greater place you could be than right here in the house of God. That is the greatest blessing you can have. This is the greatest feeding we can have, is right here. You take this, but for a moment, and I tell you what, it can make us get through that whole week. Those strawberries won't last that long. Those strawberries won't last that long, and if you don't take to them right away, they're going to go bad. But you know what? We can be here today, and a man can come up and preach to us, and how many times has it happened that you hear it, and it's not for months later that you've been blessed, and all of a sudden you think, oh, I needed that. A man preached it months ago. The Lord blessed him with it months ago. And all of a sudden, you remember it and you're sitting there going, and you are delivered through something because of what that man had delivered to you months ago because the Lord was in it. The Lord had blessed you to be able to receive it, to be able to take that. And maybe you didn't need it right away. But you know what? Comes a point in time that we can always use it. We can have that. The Lord blesses us with that. So Daniel gets strengthened. He gets strengthened there, and when we go and we look at the Word of God, I tell you what, that's strength. There's strength in that. When we feel down, we go through things that are rough, you can go to the Word of God. You can come out to the house of God and there's a meeting, you can be uplifted. You can get through those times and trials in our world. You come out here on a Sunday morning and the week has beat you down, I tell you what, you feel like, oh, it's all gone. It's washed away. I can take it. I can handle. I'm ready to face the world again. Why? Because we are strengthened in here. We can turn to the Word of God and you can go and you feel like you've been beaten down all week long. You feel like everything's not going right and there's no way you can get through something. You can turn over there to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 and you can read something. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. You know what? When we feel like I cannot take it, I cannot handle it, we can flip to the Word of God and we can say, you know what? That's not right. Because we know that the Word of God is true, and the Word of God just said that there's nothing that He's going to let us suffer through that we can't handle. It might feel like we can't handle it. It might feel like we can't take it. But you know what? We can go to the Word of God and it can strengthen us. It can make sure that we can understand that we can make it through it. So right there is our A and our R. Daniel's asked, and he's received. He's received that strength. So when we sit there, we look at it. We can ask, and we can receive it. Now he comes down there, and this is the important part. This is a really important part that a lot of times I think I fail at, and I have to always be reminded of. It's the keep. It's the keep of it. And he says, when you read something in the Bible and it says it's repeated, where it says in verse 19, be strong, yea, be strong. Well, I tell you what, if that doesn't make your ears perk up, I don't know what does. Because when you hear something that is repeated, you know, you stop and you say, okay, I need to look at this a little bit more intently. I need to look at this a little bit stronger. It's been repeated for a reason. Every word's in there, and it could have been said once, and it would have been all needed. But guess what? The Lord blessed it to say, be strong, be strong. Why? Because it's hard sometimes to keep it. It's hard sometimes to be strong through those things. We've been blessed to receive it. But I'll tell you what, a week later, we might forget it. We might forget it. You go over to different accounts in the Gospels, and here are the apostles that are with Christ. They are with God in the flesh. And if you want to sit there and say, I don't know how I can forget the many blessings I have, how I can lose sight of the Lord, well, you stop and you think about the apostles. You stop and think about them that are eating with God in the flesh all the time, that are walking with Him, hearing Him preach, and you know what? They could forget. They could falter. They could not see it. So we sit there and we look over in Matthew 17. They had a man comes and brings his child who is a lunatic, and he's been falling into the fire and into the water. And the disciples start right there in verse 16. He said, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. The disciples have been blessed to be able to do this. We've been blessed to understand that we can handle anything out there in the world. We've been blessed to understand that we can get through it. And the Lord's not going to put us in a situation, going to suffer us to be in a situation that we cannot handle. But how often do we forget? These disciples, they just didn't have the faith. You go down there in verse 18, he says, or verse 19, excuse me. He says, there came the disciples to Jesus, a apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." Because of your unbelief. He says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can remove this mountain. That's what it takes. But I tell you what, that little bit of faith sometimes can get drowned out. We can drown it out in our worldly thoughts and our worldly cares and all that, and we can lose sight of it. But it only takes the faith of a mustard seed. We've got to keep it. You know, the best way to, I think that I always like to remember, go over a few more chapters with me. I'm going to get out of Brother Chris's way here in a minute. Matthew 14. Christ is going out there, and he's walking to the disciples in the ship right here, about in starting verse 25 in the fourth watch of the night. And this is not, mind you, like the pictures we all see. The waters are not calm. The water is not, all the pictures you've grown up seeing your whole life, you always see Christ walking on a calm water to a ship that is just sitting there calmly. That's not the picture that the Bible gives us. It's not the description that the Bible gives us. You know, they were in a storm. The seas were up high. The wind was blowing. They were sitting there, and Christ is walking on the top of this. The top of this sea that is going, and He walks to them. And they see then it's Christ. And Peter, he said in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Here is Peter, a man, walking to Christ on this water that is being stirred up by these strong winds. And what happens? Peter's received it. Peter's been blessed to be able to get through that. He's being able to walk on above all that's going on. And what happens? Peter turns and he sees and he looks at the wind. And he starts to sink. That's what happens when we have been blessed to receive something and we then take our eyes off of the Lord. We take our eyes away from Him and we focus on the world. We start to sink. We start to forget about the faith. We start to forget the blessings that we've had and the understanding that we have and knowing that the Lord is there with us. The Lord can deliver us through anything, and we start to get caught up in the world and we start to falter in it. We start to sink in it. It starts to feel like it comes around us. But you know what? Even though Peter started to sink, the Lord was there to pick him up. The Lord was there to pull him up, take him there, and all of a sudden, there was a calmness over that sea. There was a calmness. He gets in there, now there's a calmness on the sea. You know, when we've been there and we've asked the Lord, we've received it, we've kept it, how many times when you can still see this, there's this craziness of the world going around us. We're in a situation that feels like it's overwhelming. And when we stop and we see the Lord and we say we've done all that, we see and we can feel His presence right there with us, all of a sudden it's all gone. It's easy. We can know, we can handle it, and all of a sudden it's become something very small. And you know what? Because the Lord is very big. He's bigger than all those cares we have. And that's what we got there. Ask, receive, and keep. Daniel gets it. You know, he's been put down. He has no strength, no breath in him. He doesn't know how he's even supposed to speak to the Lord when he's just a lowly servant. The Lord's blessed us to understand how to do it. He gets there. They touch Daniel. He's been blessed with strength. He receives it. You know what? That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we don't just ask for it and go out and run and do it. But ask for it and to wait on the Lord to bless us with that touch. Bless us with that touch to where we receive it. You know, when you stop and you want to think about the touches that Christ goes through in the Bible. He cleanses lepers. He raises the dead. He opens the eyes. He opens the ears. The things that He did with the touch. Now, we don't have Christ in the flesh here, but I assure you we have Christ here. And how many times have we felt that touch? I think there's a song, that tender touch, that touch of His gentle hand. We've felt that touch. When we sit there and you feel that touch where you have, it's just like what I started with, the man that has been preaching for so long and hasn't seen something, and all of a sudden his eyes have been opened. His eyes have been opened to see something different in there. That's the Lord. That was not of that man, but that's the Lord. That touch. Ask, receive, and make sure that we pray that He blesses us to be able to keep it. That we can keep that hold tight to it. That we can make sure we can face tomorrow. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.